Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the show radio. It's episode 572. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. Daniela, we are talking about, we're going at the very top, Google Stadia, your favorite. Let's go into it, Daniela. What's your thoughts? Let's hit it.
So, I was hopeful, a little bit hopeful for it. And then, you know, having the issues, I think I've mentioned before that I was kind of in the alpha, but I could never, ever access it because, you know, my ping, my network, my connectivity issues, just like all of these things. And from that and the fact that they didn't, you know, double down on it, improve that connectivity, the availability for those who don't have that type of internet stability, I just knew that it wasn't really going anywhere, and it hasn't impressed me since. They released a product, a service that just was not a solid foundation, and they just like overpromised on so many things. And before they even like, you know, made this great product or service, they're like, oh, we're going to make games. We're going to do this. Like, no, your stuff sucks still.
Yeah. I know you're not surprised.
No, I'm not.
I know you're not surprised, but were there elements of it where you believe would still work even today, a year later, 14 months later?
Not the game development side of it. I think they just really need to focus on the service. And, you know, over a year out now, it's still a letdown. It's still like, nobody's really caring for it. I mean, I know that some of the games and, you know, the little carrot that they dangle in front of you is like, oh, we're going to get this and we're going to offer that. Sounds really great. But what's the point when your service is blah?
Yeah.
Your content is eh.
So there's a couple of things with this one, right? So this particular article that we're looking at, if you're listening to this, I'm just going to read a little bit of it. It says, just 14 months after Stadia's high-profile launch, Google is embarking on a major rethink of its streaming service strategy, which will see it close down all internal game development and begin providing its tech to third-party publishers. Now, a name that is attached to this, as many know, if you don't know, Phil Harrison has done a lot of or has headed many big projects in the past, and there's it seems like there's a direct correlation between him being part of a project and how well the project does. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's consistent, but it looks consistent. So Stadia General Manager Phil Harrison confirmed the closure of the company's two internal game studios based on Montreal and Los Angeles in a new blog post, signaling an end to its console-like ambitions in creating flagship Stadia exclusive titles to drive adoption of the platform. So Phil Harrison has done a lot of different things in the past, and I don't recall, and Daniela, correct me if I'm wrong, that the last two or three things that he's been associated with has done really well. Talk to me.
I honestly couldn't say yes or no to that.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like they're just really pulling for it. They're like, okay, if we put a big name behind it and we have this and we put him out there, show that we can do this, like maybe it's hopeful, maybe people will change their opinions, but I don't know. That's a really tough call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad because we always want to see big projects like this do well, right?
Of course.
And
it opens up more options.
Right. So the great part for me is that even though this is happening and people have lost, that's not the great part. Let me calibrate that properly. The great part for me is the controller, right? The bad part is the fact that a lot of people may have lost their job and they have to redirect where they have to find work, right? During this pandemic. And two studios, I can only assume it's a lot of people that have to, you know, figure out what they're going to do after that. But the great part for me, and prayerfully they get, you know, covered and the positions that they're looking for and they get redirected, assigned, right? But the controller still, for me, is something that I'm interested in because maybe because I just like to collect them, but that's still a pull for me to consider, not necessarily using the platform itself, but just being able to take that controller and use it for you know, PC and different things like that.
Yeah, but then you have something, you have Xbox Game Pass and their Play Anywhere, and I have to say they're kind of killing it with that.
Right. Was I harsh last week about that?
I don't think so.
Because I was thinking about it again. I was like, "What am I harsh on the Game Pass and all that stuff?" I'm not trying to be, right? It's just that I know that there's a lot of zeal surrounding the product, and it's a great product. I just don't like the miscommunication that they've done in some of their interviews when they were promoting it for its release. That I think that's my thing with it. That's fair, right?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So that's the thing with Stadia. That's the top of the news that we wanted to cover right away. Everything else will be quick hits. And as I mentioned to Daniel earlier, I believe that this is probably one of the shorter shows that we're going to do. And I want to get to a point where when we're talking about the news, if it's right to the point stuff, cool. If it's expanded stuff, great. And that way we just hit it and then, you know, move on. I'll say that. Okay.
Because I just realized we also, there's another one, it's a big one.
Okay.
I don't know how we're kind of missing it.
Avoiding it? Like, intentionally?
I don't know.
Oh.
Just before we started recording. But Gearbox, okay. You know, that's pretty big. Them being acquired, bought. But it's funny because I'm like, who is Embracer Group? And I'm like, oh, THQ Nordic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That is pretty big.
That is huge. I didn't even see that. Why didn't I see that? I don't know where I was.
I think that's pretty big.
Absolutely. Okay. So independent, in the video game world now, have a shared home. Embracer Group, aka THQ Nordic, is merging with Gearbox Software, turning the Borderlands studio into a seventh operating group that will serve as a wholly owned subsidiary. Gearbox founder Randy Pitchfork will continue to run his company. The purchase was worth about $363 million on day one. Yeah, that is huge. I didn't see this. Why didn't I see this?
I don't know. I remember it was yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
It was yesterday, actually. I remember just seeing all these things about them being bought out by Embracer Group. I'm like, I have never heard of this company. Who is Embracer Group? And then I see THQ Nordic. I'm like, why don't you just call it that? Nobody knows who Embracer Group is.
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, just looking at the headline, I was just like, I have no idea what that is. But yeah, so congrats, right? I would say
that's pretty big. I'm kind of curious where this goes, how this partnership, this merging happens, and what they will create together. Or just, you know, I don't see Gearbox really changing their motto or what they're doing or their support or or even getting another Borderlands, I don't see that changing.
Did you do Borderlands 3 at all?
What they can do to know. No, I'm terrible. I'm behind and I'm trying to catch up here.
I just want to know why. I'm not like trying to ping anything on you or anything like that. I was just wondering, was there a high level interest there and you just, you know, life there and is. You're taking care of life and.
Okay, this is funny because you brought this up. I really have not played anything this month and I can't tell you why. I don't know. I just felt like really burnt out. And right now my chill place is just like.
So why are you here?
Oh my God, then.
If you're really burnt out, why are you here? Because I would tell you don't. And you know that.
I don't. Literally, when I messaged you before we start recording, like, I am literally, I just turned on my PC and I messaged you. Just got it. Setting up right now. Like, I go from work straight home, right into this. There's no stop. And then after this, I go right into dinner. And then after that, it's getting ready for the night.
Next thing you know,
it is 11. And I have to rinse and repeat and do it all over again tomorrow.
Okay, so,
so all right. This is this weird balance thing that I'm trying to figure out. And then I think it's always this whole thing of like, well, you should play something. You should do this. I need you to play this. Or I want you to check this out. And I'm like, slow your roll. I get to it when I want to get to it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Huh. Yeah, I can't tell you. I don't know what is going on.
So it's not a lack of interest that you're not playing Borderlands. It's just a lack of time.
Time and energy. It's okay. Not even just Borderlands. It's like I still have, I think during the holiday break, I had a lot of time, like, because I was like really slow at work. I was playing like a lot of Valhalla, and then I went right back into work and I haven't played any.
Okay. So this question I've thought about too. So I'm going to ask it to you. Would you hire a maid?
If I was balling, yeah.
Okay. I thought about it.
My aunt used to have an amazing maid, and her name was Maria, and she was awesome. She was like almost like a second mom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it was weird because it's like, I think the first kind of housekeeper maid that any of us got experience to. And we had, you know, you have that Hollywood thing where they're just quiet in the background, you boss them around. Like, no, this woman. She was like, if we were misbehaving as kids, she was like fully allowed to just whoop us.
she had consent.
Yeah, she did. But no, she was awesome. But she would scold us for anything like that. She was kind of like a mom, and her kids were cool too. And she made some fantastic food.
Mm.
And she didn't just clean. She like, you know, it wasn't the type like. I guess if you just leave a mess and you're like, oh, the maid will get to it. Like, no, if you left a mess, even if it was unintentional, she'd like, you clean this up now.
Mm, interesting.
Like a nanny, tutor, housekeeper, all this.
Yeah, the Swiss Army knife. Yeah.
She wasn't my maid / nanny. She was my cousin. So.
Yeah, but she was part of the family, like well integrated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So talk to me about, let's talk about Mass Effect.
Oh man. I'm developing a special sort of hatred for this game.
Okay.
And it's not even the game. It is not even the game.
What happened?
If I have like one more person tell me you need to play Mass Effect, like, no, I don't.
Oh, so you're tripling down on the, okay, I got it. I gotcha. Okay.
Well, it's like, it's not even just Mass Effect. It's like, it's any game that I have never had a personal interest in. Like, I don't think it's a bad game. It's just not my particular type of game. And there's those people like, well, you need to try this. You need to play this. What if I did this? And like, would you play it then? What if you tried that? And I'm like, I did. I didn't. It just wasn't my personal thing. I just don't want to play it. And then they just try to find these different ways to do it. And I'm like, no, you're not getting it. And after years, I'm like, okay, cool. And then, like, yeah, they got the whole, you know, they're going to be redoing all this. It's going to come back again. I'm like, still a no.
What's interesting about that is what you just described is the same thing I get from a buddy of mine who is, like, in love with that series. Like, you got to play Mass Effect. You got to stream it. You got to, you know. And whatever that formula was for them to be that immersed, to become evangelist for the game, I think that's incredible because I haven't seen that much dedication in a spreading a message for a game in a long time, right? That consistent zeal to share, hey, you got to. I haven't seen that in a lot of games. I know we talk about Destiny and some of the things that I like, but not that same energy for a push for you to play a game. Maybe Uncharted was close, right? In terms of that kind of zeal, but yeah. I haven't seen anything like that for that comes close to Mass Effect. Yeah. And I think there were some other games which I can't think of, but maybe Halo at some point had that push.
Yeah, you probably. Know,
right? Right? But there's not a lot of games that we can say, man, maybe Call of Duty, some of the earlier ones, right? Modern Warfare 2, maybe. 3. Yeah. Like one of those in there. But, after that, I don't know. And if there are, I'm sure they're escaping me, but from the top, I think I'm looking at like Uncharted series, God of War, right? Is another one, right?
I love God of War. I'm not going to tell people like, you need to play this. You got to try this. You haven't played it. You need to. What are you doing with your life? That's what I get. And it just like kind of gets to the point of like, at one point I had a slight interest in it and maybe I'd give it a try, but so many people begging on me for this. It's just like, nope, done. Whatever small interest I had, you killed.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there's a tight knit community like, the Warframe and the Paladins of the world, right? They're pretty, and the thing is like, until the recent TennoCon that they had, which is their major conference, if you want to call it that, I wasn't aware how huge that community was for Warframe. It is huge, like mega. Okay. And, I'm pretty impressed by that. And they love the game. They love the world. They had an art exhibit during the conference and stuff like that. It's fantastic. But, so Mass Effect right now, you're out.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad.
Okay, you're out. I would consider it because I would love to get any games that I've had in the past on the console platform. I want to have them on the PC platform. So I know I'm making that transition to not necessarily re-own things. If they come up for free on Epic Game Store and stuff like that, I'm definitely grabbing them. But if the opportunity shows up to get them on 60 frames on a PC, that's my world now. I'll definitely do that. So I'm definitely interested in that. And then the next thing that we have is Spider-Man Miles Morales sold 4.1 million copies. Thoughts on that?
That one I want to play. I'm glad that nobody's trying to kill me on that one. That one I still want to play. I'm just trying to be smart and just not build the backlog. I've been good. I want to finish games this year. I mean, step one, I got to start playing them again. But no, that's fantastic, though.
I think it is. But go ahead.
Beautiful looking game and exciting. I want to find like I don't want to find that person, but I don't think I could find a person that disliked that game seriously. And if there was, I don't trust them.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's a great game. Like I love it. Another game I wanted to mention that had it came to me, Gears of War. Absolutely great community. A lot of depth in that community. Super evangelist of the game for the Gears franchise. I know Judgment, you know, that's not everybody's, you know, cup of tea and stuff like that. A lot of people felt like that was a throwaway. Gears 1, 2, and 3, fantastic. Gears 5, amazing. Gears 4, really good, right? So, yeah, that's another one. Huge. Huge. And they've done a lot of great things there.
It's huge, but I wouldn't necessarily put it on the level still as Mass Effect.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I don't personally dislike the game. Not my taste. I know I said I have a special hatred. It's like, it's not because of the game itself. I can appreciate that game is amazing and that it has such a huge fan base and that people love it, the story and everything that it brought to them and what it meant for them. But I cannot say honestly that it would have as much popularity, like Gears would had as much popularity as Mass Effect did. It had a lot and people love it and it's a great series, but I wouldn't put them on that same platform, on that same level.
Fair enough. Yeah, we'll leave it there. Dope communities overall. So the thing that's interesting about this particular number, 4.1, when you look at it, it seemed very low because the game was released both on a PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, right? So it's like, what happened there? it seems low, right? And I think that's another conversation to look at. The game is really fantastic, but that number seems very low since it was released on both.
So what would be a high number?
8 up? Yeah.
I think when the PS5 is a little bit less scarce, definitely those numbers would be up.
Okay. Good point. Yeah. But 8, at least 7.5 up, right? Would be like, oh, sweet, right? This is great. Fantastic. This is amazing. A lot of units, right? 2 systems. Just that. Seems weird. Point taken. You know, scarcity of consoles. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. Cool. So Division 2, I'm back in.
Are you?
Feels good. I'm back in and it's running really, really good. Everything is running good. So I'm not messing it up. So depending on when you hear this, this Friday, I'll be doing some Logitech streaming stuff with them. So this will probably be after the fact, but I'm talking about it on social media right now, retweeting different things like that. But, the reason I say that is I'll be playing Division 2, Friday. So, I got the clear for that because I wasn't sure. So, yeah, I'm back in because it's a Resident Evil and Division 2. So you get the outfits of, it's good. It's good. And the game was never bad. You know, it suffered from patch issues. Like Cyberpunk, right? Patched up really good. You know, they listen, they fix whatever they had to fix. It's good. It's so good right now. Woo! I'll be playing it probably right after this, after I eat some food. I'll be playing it pretty much after this. It's that good, you know, ranking up, getting the outfits. I got the raccoon RPD thing, right? I got the mask. I got the zombie, not the zombie mask, but you know, the one with the red eyes with the, oh, I got that. Oh, it's so good. It's, and whoever thought about that collaboration, that's fantastic. I know Fortnite has done a lot of different collaborations and different characters in a game, but putting a game that has like virus stuff in, that was good. Whoever thought about Resident Evil cross Division 2, fantastic. So those are my thoughts on it. I'm happy. It's still Division, but you just wear different outfits and I'm digging it.
You're going to kill it this Friday.
I'm nervous. You're nervous. I'm nervous. So, but you know, shout out to Logitech for the opportunity, you know, as, so this episode, when you hear this, it would be the week of the 9th. So that would be in their, you know, archives and stuff like that. So we'll be raising money for the Loveland Foundation. They do therapy for, young, black, women and, you know, seasoned women. I'll say that. So I don't get pinged for some craziness. Why would you say that? Why would you call us old? I didn't. So there's that. So Resident Evil Tall Lady, she Maybe. Seems to, huh? Oh, the name, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how to say it. I need somebody to tell me. I need to hear it myself. Yeah.
Did they mention it on their, I didn't look at their stream yet. I need to check it out. Did they probably mention on the stream maybe that they had recently?
If they did, I missed them saying.
Right. Probably. So what is the, thing with her? It seems like everybody's going crazy.
They got a kink for her, tall lady.
Yeah.
I mean, she's definitely one of the better looking bad guys that's come out of there. And she has her 3 daughters, Lady Alcina Dimitrescu. She's a vampire witch with these witchy 3 daughters here.
Does she have like blades, like scissor hand blades or something like that?
Yeah. So during the maiden demo. Oh, well, I guess that's the last thing I played, if you call that playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you escape, you know, she comes in, really, when you're trying to escape out. And yeah, you end with her pulling out these, like, Freddy Krueger claw hand thing and just, I'm assuming, killing you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just that she's a very attractive, tall woman and, you know, people have a kink for that.
I see that. Won't play it.
I think she looks really badass and really super scary, but I think I really love the design of the daughters more, and I've been loving the cosplays that they, like, people are coming out and so quick with it too. But yeah.
Yeah, even the drawings too. Even the some of the art that's come out already, yeah. Which is fabulous. Yeah.
And she's supposed to be like 9 feet 6 inches, I believe. I'm like, that is.
That's insane. So did they say when that's coming out? Because I don't even know right now.
May.
Did they say? It is in, okay. May. Are you May. Day one or what are you thinking?
Probably, but we missed out on the collector's edition because it's only for PS5. Well, at least so far that at this mm-hmm. moment. We missed out on that. I'm a little bit bummed about it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love the collector's edition that came with 7, which was like the house and it was a music box. And that was a heavy duty music box house thing. So a little bit bummed about that. But yeah, probably most likely a day one for me.
Okay.
I think I'm going to get it on my PS5. I don't think. Yeah. I don't know if it's even on PC. Actually, I didn't even look if it was on PC. I think I just like immediately.
I think it is. I think it is on Steam.
That's what I'm going to get it on. That's where it's going to be.
Do I even have Steam open right now? I think it is on Steam, actually.
I've been good about not opening Steam at all.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud of you, too.
I am so proud.
I haven't opened up to like buy anything for 2 months.
Resident Evil
so
Village. Yeah, it's on Steam.
I'm just
it's
buying
Steam.
Ridiculous things at Amazon.
Yeah, like that camera you just bought. What's going on there?
Yeah. Okay, so you want to talk about that?
What, the camera? What do you want to talk about? We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Okay. What you want to talk about?
Do you have anything you want to say about Lady Dimitrescu?
Nope. I'm good.
You're gonna play it.
I'm good. I'll just watch you play it in May.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I'll pull up and watch you play it. That's a definite.
Yeah, you're going to be like, oh, nope. Nice seeing you. Thanks for stopping by.
For like 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I believe in you. I believe in you. Yeah, 2 minutes. No, I think it's great that, when the developers and the artists are creating characters, they have, in mind at this point, the individuals who are going to cosplay. Right. So they design it in such a way for that. And I think that's really dope. That's all I have to say on it. I think that's dope.
I just don't think I really expected it to blow up and be as like, you know, loved as they did because yeah. It's not like that happens a whole lot for Resident Evil. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people who like love the characters, cosplay the characters. They role play. They do all these things, but like so quick
mm-hmm.
and just like really attach themselves to this character who is. You know, they haven't dived too deep into the whole context of how she plays in and what's going on and like how, why or what's happening to her story exactly. But people just flock to her and just this woman is like, yep, all the memes that came out, all of these things, like Resident Evil hasn't been like that one bad guy that everybody loves or fell.
Yeah. It's been a while since Resident Evil 3, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because Code Veronica was its own thing, right?
Well, yeah. And usually it's like the good guys that people ever, like, you know, Ada Wong that they fall in love with. And I don't know, that guy.
Yeah. So I'm actually, so if we went, let's talk about Resident Evil for a little bit. If we talked about the Resident Evil games that I actually played, right? One, two, you know, two had two discs, right? Three played that. Four. Which I think is Veronica, right? Code Veronica. Or is it its own thing?
I wouldn't say, no, Code Veronica is in 4.
Okay. So Code Veronica. Okay. 5, which felt like more of an action game than anything else. Okay.
Yeah.
6 really felt like an action game. I don't think it was that scary.
That was kind of a little bit, outside right? of.
Right. Okay. So even though I haven't played all of them, I'm still following, right? So 7 was so scary. I was like, no. From what I got or heard and from watching some of the things that you were doing with that. And now we're at 8. And so what I think, I guess prepping for disappointment, even as we're talking about it this early, when you have a character like that, who's 9 feet, you know, 6 inches or whatever. And everyone's embracing her this early. I just hope for the Resident Evil community that she's a main character and not some side person that you see. 2 or 3 times in the game and then that's it. That's going to be a heavy disappointment for the individuals.
Oh yeah. That, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my only concern. A concern, even though I'm not playing the game, but for that community, for you guys who are going to be playing the game, I hope that this character, is a big part of the game and not just, you know, 1 or 2 times you see her. And then it's like some, very, what do you call those things? Like, I was like, oh man, you know, you're reading about her, right? More than you're seeing her in the actual game. We'll see, right? We'll see. Yeah. No, it looks fantastic. It looks fantastic. Any additional thoughts on that?
No.
Okay.
Just gonna play.
Sweet. So that's Resident Evil stuff. That's what's happening there. And they also did some stuff with Division. I'm happy about that right now. So I was talking to you recently, very recently, about me considering Twitch and YouTube stuff. And I've been talking about that ever since, you know, second half of 2020, right? To the point where I'm considering, as I mentioned to you, asking Twitch to remove me off of the affiliate program, right? And so I'm thinking about that. I thought about it a lot, and that sounds good, but I actually need to do something about it, right? So it's one thing to say, yeah, you know, I'm going to ask them to remove me because, you know, they own a lot of my rights and I want those rights. You know, the pay and the split is one of the lowest, you know, in the industry, which is true. And other reasons when you read the contract, when they have ads, the ads aren't dynamic. So, whatever they get that ad for, you still get the baseline of that, CPM, stuff like that. So, but some people care about that and some people won't, right? And I think that if, you're focused on building brand and you want to be, paying attention to your contracts and stuff like that and what they really say, not just, what you hope they would do versus what the contract is, that the legal, you know, thing that actually says, then, you know, you have to weigh it out. And then for me right now, based on things that I'm thinking about and how I want to spend, and the freedom that I want to have as an agent, you know, free agency and stuff like that. I think that offboarding, which is what they call it, out of the contract is what I'm considering. I still want to stream there, but not be obligated to be exclusive for like 24 hours and stuff like that. And that's just a very surface level of it. So yeah, that sounds good. But what are you going to do about it, right? Because I could say, yeah, I'm thinking about doing that. And then it just sounds like I'm just talking. No, I asked Twitch to do that already. Okay. So the service thing is already in. I'm just waiting for them to undo that. So that's the lead on that. Thoughts? Any thoughts on that?
No, I think it's smart. I'm not personally going to do that myself, but I think it's good to really think about when you are reading the contract, because it's kind of like that whole... people sign up for it, they don't read it, they don't go into death until something negatively impacts them. And then they're like, well, can you really do that? And for the most part, which can, if they're doing something and it's against you, most likely, yes. Because when it comes down to it, there are those good, smart people who will read the contract that's put in front of them. Where there's a lot of people who will just agree to all the terms and services and nobody actually reads it. They're like, yeah. Okay. Where do I sign? Where do I say yes? Where do I click to go forward? You know, just get this out of the way.
Yeah.
So it's always beneficial to read it. And it's not even just Twitch. It's like literally any platform to be on.
Right.
Especially you have, you know, your own content out there.
Right.
That means any content.
Anything.
So it's always good to know what you are signing yourself up for, what you are gaining and what you are losing in that process.
Okay. So a couple of things. I think that's probably one of the major things we'll talk about. And then one more thing and it'll probably wrap. What sparked this, right? Cause usually we're either inspired by something or someone, right? What came through that I would consider offboarding Twitch, right? So there's a guy named Devin Nash. Okay. And Devin Nash talks a lot about industry stuff, you know, esports stuff, data and analytics of this industry, right? The streaming industry and stuff like that. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Bless you. And I listened to a lot of his streams and I watch a lot of his videos, and he made some videos recently. One of the recent videos that he made is called, Twitch is a Pimp. That's the name of the video. Okay. So if you're listening, and you're not watching, this video, the video is called Twitch is a Pimp. And if you put that in YouTube, the name is Devin Nash. Okay. And watch that. If you're a Twitch affiliate, watch it with an open mind. Okay. And then go from there. And then there's another video that he did, which was, I think, November or something, maybe something like that, of last year, that talks about, why you shouldn't sign, a Twitch affiliate contract or something like that. And it has like a Twitch affiliate icon on it, right? So I think he started my thought on researching this some more, right? So whenever someone's excited for Twitch affiliate, they believe that it's a grind to an achievement. And that is true until you realize that it is a metric that is using your likeness that they own in the contract once you start reading the contract, right? That's just one part of it. And then the other part about it too is the split money that you get from Twitch versus some of the other platforms, right? Patreon, et cetera, et cetera, is one of the lowest ones out of all of them, right? But I encourage you, don't take my word for it, right? I'm reading the contract and I've read a good portion of it. When I copied and pasted it to my Word document, it's about 18 pages. And specifically as you go through it, you see the thing. So on the screen right now, some of you listening and some of you watching, I have the Twitch contract and it says at the very top, you know, I started highlighting some stuff, right? It's a legal contract, right? And it also talks about tax obligations that you will have. It also talks about what happens if they reject your application, right? If we reject your application, terminate your account in connection with any violation or abuse, blah, blah, blah. You cannot attempt to rejoin the program without advance written authorization. So people have to do that. Then it talks about what they own. Okay. Talks about what they own, right? In terms of you in the contract with them, right? Twitch content is exclusive to Twitch, even as to you. During the exclusivity period of any live Twitch content, you will not nor permit or authorize any third party to broadcast to, stream to, distribute to, exhibit, and otherwise make available such live Twitch content in any manner. And a lot of people know that. That's not news, right? Uh-huh. Right? I mean, I'm not saying anything crazy because most Twitch affiliate people, they know that.
Yeah.
They do know that. They decide, though, that Twitch is going to be a platform that they're going to spend their time to build because they want to get to partner, because the things change when you get to partner, right? So as you go through, and some individuals will say, don't even do Twitch affiliate, just get all the numbers and then apply directly for partner when you get 75 plus CCVs or whatever. And that's a smarter move than going through. But I didn't know, right? I didn't know, right? I knew that this was a great achievement until Monster Cat started selling this affiliate program in one of their packages. I'm like, so all the individuals who grinded for the Twitch affiliate, I'm just talking out loud. You cut me off at any time, Daniel. I'm just talking, right? So all the individuals who grinded for this, it's really nothing, right? It's still, and I'll even edit that. It means something to the people who grinded for it. Don't get me wrong. It's something super special because they had to do the thing to actually get it, not pay for it like you're paying for like a degree or a diploma. So I'm never going to take that away from the individuals who actually grinded for it. Don't get me wrong. But when you see that, and Daniel's like, you better say that because I'm coming for you, right? I'm coming for you, right? But for the individuals who are just buying it through like a Monster Cat thing, that's when I was like, you know what? Let me go and start reading the contract for myself. And that was in the last couple of days. I've been reading it and I'm like, you know what? I'm going off board. So Daniela, I'm done. You know, just, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, the contract. I'm just looking at it, blah, blah. That's it.
I am one of those people where I don't mind it. Okay, there's going to be people there's going to be a greater divide in people who have their own different opinions. And then I don't know how people come across who, where you can read the same document and somehow come away with it differently. Now I'm just one of those people for me, it's okay. I'm all right with it. It was more so when reading it through the first time for me and knowing that like, okay, for 24 hours, I can't make anything with the content. Like, it feels weird to me. It feels weird. It's like, what do you mean? It's mine. Why can't I do anything with it? Why is it just yours for this whatever time period it may be? And then I was thinking, I'm like, what are the chances of me actually, for me personally, this isn't for anybody else. For me personally, it's like, what are the chances of me downloading whatever highlights or clips are in it, editing it, putting it out and being done with it in 24 hours? Zero. All right, cool, whatever. It's going to be after the 24 hours. That's fine. And that's great for, well, it's also a smart strategy if you're a content creator. You want some people to see your content from when you were live to see what happens there to for them to get a feel for it. But for me, it's just more of like, well, there's other platforms to also try and to expand on, like YouTube. And you wouldn't, I would never ever say like, oh yeah, you should totally take your Twitch content, spruce it up a little bit and put it onto YouTube. I think whatever other platforms you have, it should always be unique and genuine to that platform itself. So from that aspect, that was okay with me. If I had to do it again, though, I probably would have waited on signing up for the affiliate and just done like, okay, maybe I'll just get the numbers and I'll just go for a partner whenever I get that. That is definitely a smarter plan and choice to go with. But it's not enough for me for right now to just like, okay, I'm going to offboard. I'm okay with it. I'm super casual about it. I don't personally, for me, my end goal isn't really being a partner streamer. Would I like it? Yes. Is that exactly what I want? Not necessarily. Like working at Yer, that is what I wanted, is being more behind the scenes working with the company rather than, you know, me being a content creator. So having an affiliate and being just a casual part-time streamer, I think that suited me and that fit me and I'm cool with it. So that's where I'm at with it. And I think when people who are getting into it, like I was saying in the beginning, you really need to decide and read through your contract and see if it's a right fit for you and then make that determination going forward, because there's so many different platforms. There's so many up and coming platforms that, you know, want to try it out. I think the up and coming ones would be like Glimish. Glimish is a possibility. They have a lot of, it's community organized in a way.
Never heard of
that. They're
very
transparent about what they're doing, what's happening, trying to incorporate features that people really want. I think Trovo is another one that's going out there that has a very interesting kind of partner affiliate status on how to make money from it. There's no signed contracts, but partnership status is based off of how well you do on a monthly basis.
Interesting.
So you might have this paid partnership with them 1 month, but if your numbers didn't match up, then you could kind of like, you wouldn't be of that partner status. You'd kind of be of affiliate status. You'll still get some kind of, you know, income from it, but it might not be as much. Like they have an interesting thing going on over there. And just to see, you know, what's available to you. What is more lucrative? What is smarter? Not just like, oh, I got this. I'm so happy. It's a great accomplishment to have if that's the platform you want to be on. If that's the platform you want to call home. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm sorry.
Always things to just think on. Just don't go into it blindly. Know what you're getting yourself into and know what you're signing for.
Yeah. So, So I have my support ticket in for them. And I'm just waiting to hear back from them. I did get the email that they did receive the ticket and I don't know how fast they do a turnaround on that. But, so what that will allow me to do, since this week I started using Streamlabs OBS, I can just use that and I'm liking it. I'm really liking how they have stuff done in Streamlabs OBS. This is my first real, push to try and learn how it works. That way I could use either Twitch in there or YouTube in there. You know, just put everything in there nice and neat. And, and then so far so good. With learning that process. But, if I don't hear back from them in 7 days, I'll either reply to them on Twitter and ask them, hey, how long does it take to, but my thing is you can't offboard in the dashboard and the creator dashboard. You have to put a support ticket to offboard. Why is that?
I don't know. It's like putting in a 2-week notice. Because you're signing a contract. You can't just sign out of a contract just as easily as you sign
out. I want out. I want out, Daniela. I want out. Okay? And they don't make it easy, to go out? Because it's not there for me to just, you know.
And I'm done.
Yeah. Right. So, I don't know. Okay, so that's what's up with that. And last but not least, real short, and I'll leave some opening thoughts at the end. Destiny new season, February 9th. Excited about that. We'll look to see what they have. I'm still playing Destiny. Love it. And, I don't think I'm ever going to stop playing Destiny. So that's that. So any final thoughts? I don't want to end the day. Any final thoughts? And then we'll close out.
Okay. So going back to this whole thing of my purchase on Amazon, why I kind of purchased it, why I kind of didn't necessarily need to. Obviously I always like going the budget route. I'm trying out different things. Like I think a few episodes back, I was trying to figure out how to use my Canon, 70 as a webcam. It kind of worked, but it kind of didn't because I I don't have a mirrorless camera. And then, like, feeling how hot it got, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to go this route. It's just, it's too hot for my camera to be sitting there to be powered on for that long. Like, I think I was testing things out for like an hour. I'm like, no, this can't be healthy for my camera. I don't want to wear it down. I feel like mirrorless cameras have been better. So, like, your Sonys that everybody else had, like the 5100s, the 6000 series, mm-hmm. wouldn't be, or would be a better choice. I don't have that kind of money. Mm. At the same time, you know, I'm also thinking about other multi-purpose. It's not just like, it's only going to be this really overpriced, expensive, really nice looking webcam. I want to be able to do other things to it and be multi-purpose in the sense of what I wanted to do while I'm streaming. So I know a lot of people have been using GoPros for the VR side of things, as cameras or as webcams, and those are really nice. Again, I don't want to spend that kind of dough. So I'm trying to find that balance between quality and price. And mm-hmm. I just came across this company called 8Man, which they have, it's like a more affordable GoPro action camera. They're super tiny, kind of like the GoPros. Wow. This one happened to pop up on a Lightning deal. It's been sitting on my wish list, and I've been like debating between this and another model. This is the 8Man A79. Mm-hmm. It was like $40, and it can go do 4K at 30 frames, 1080 at 60 frames, 720 at 60 frames. And it's really supposed to be just your affordable GoPro option. And you can use it as a webcam. And I just got it in today. It actually came with a lot of accessories that GoPro does not come with, actually. Like, you have to buy them separately. But you can have it for your chest strap, your head, you know, your mount, head mounts. I don't really need it to be able to capture anything like surfing or mountain biking or anything like that. I just want a really nicer, cleaner output for a webcam. For not just regular use, but even for like the VR side of it. And that's the VR side was what I was mainly going to be using for a wider angle than my 922 does.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, straight out of the box, I literally just got this in just before we started recording today. I don't know. My first impressions right now, I think I need to email them, because hooking it up to use it as a webcam, really super, super simple. Like, I just went with a USB to it. Apparently you can use an HDMI, which, you know, that's what I thought it was. I didn't know that it actually is this mini display port. HDMI that I need that I don't have. I didn't even know that mini display port cables existed. I was like, oh, I have a mini HDMI. No, because in the book it says HDMI. This is not a mini HDMI. This is a mini display port. And I'm like, that's tricky.
So you gotta
find that on this island. I have to go and find it.
Yeah, check Monoprice. Monoprice may have it, because they have a lot of cables and all those different things.
Yeah, I still gotta order it though. So that's the, like, that's the whole thing. It's not included with the box. I'm like, well, that's a little bit of a disappointment there. Because when I'm hooking it up right now, and I think I have to go and email them, because they don't have the drivers readily available on their website, which kind of bugs me. Because most websites, you go to there, you need to download drivers or firmware. Right there. You just like, you know, they have the drop down menu, like, oh, which model do you have? Which one of this? Okay, well, this is the one you need to download. No, this one, it tells you, you need to email them to get it. To make sure you have the right one. I'm like, you are making this so much more difficult than it needs to be.
Right.
It does hook up, but when I had my XSplit up and I had, like, you know, it sees this as a source, pops it up, it is so dark and there's no way of me adjusting, you know, the contrast, the brightness, nothing. It's just, it looks like I'm sitting in a dark room. If I turned off all the lights in my room, like, yeah, I can tell that there's a video and that's what it's supposed to be, but there's no way of adjusting it.
So
and
then
that's kind of super frustrating to me. So I'm hoping, like, okay, is there some drivers I'm missing? I mean, I can go to my device manager and just manually do it that way, but it says it's all up to date. No drivers available on their website to download. So that's a little bit frustrating. And I got to ask them, like, am I missing something? And I was looking up YouTube videos and I'm like, wow, these guys' videos are using this as a webcam. Like, they look great. And you just hook it up and it looks awesome. Like, what am I missing? Is it because I'm using the USB? Maybe I really do need to have the HDMI, because that's what it says, like, in the manual itself.
Right.
To use the HDMI. So maybe that's the missing element, but that requires me ordering cable, waiting for that to come in, and then testing it and seeing.
So if you're running it, if you're running it through OBS, you can use those features and lighten it up.
I did, and it does not work.
Even with the filters and stuff like that?
I don't even recognize it as being able to do it.
Oh, man.
Like, it's very super limited. And I'm like, what is this? Why?
Yeah.
And the thing is, like it has a screen here, so you can see it, and it looks great. If you're just using it as an actor camera, not a webcam, mm-hmm. it looks great. Like, the recorded video, you know, it's not as smooth as the GoPro. So if you're using it as it's intended to be the action camera, first impressions, don't use the 4K 30 frames. Mm-hmm. I think the 1080 60 frames look pretty good. I wouldn't put it, I put it a step below the 1080, but if it's kind of like still frames, it actually, not still frames, but if it's stationary and you just
and it's right.
using the webcam.
One shot.
Yeah, I think it looks good. But for the price point of like $40, I mean, I think this, if I was going to keep this, I was actually going to give it to my son. The reason being is I don't believe in buying $300, $400 for like GoPros for kids or teenagers.
So you're not keeping it?
I don't know yet. I'm going to figure out and see what this is, if I can email support and tell them, hey, what's up with this, and see if like, you know, that mini DisplayPort HDMI cable comes in to see if that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a kid who's like kind of just getting into, you know, sports, they like surfing, they like skateboarding, they want to make videos. Oh yeah, 100% this. Like, they can go and have fun, and you're just going to lose like $40 in the process rather than, you know, they go bodyboarding, which my son has lost a $400 GoPro bodyboarding because it came detached from the mount and off into the ocean it went.
So before I forget again, because I remembered, forgotten, and I remembered again. Do you surf?
No, I don't like the
beach. Okay.
I really don't like the beach. I don't like the sand. I don't like the feeling. So I don't. But my son does, and he's super active, and he's getting into, you know, he loves skateboarding. He's getting into recording videos of him and his friends. Like, this would be great for that, for any parent. I think the quality is there. I don't know necessarily if you're going to be making some really high end thing, but for just a hobbyist for a kid and just getting into it and feeling it out, this would be a sound investment. Just right now, on my standpoint of using it as a little step upgrade for a webcam, I can't say yes right now. I would like to, because the reason why I was looking at this brand is that there's several people who were using it for this purpose and they just had some really good results. But my problem was, and that's probably where I made a possible mistake, is that all the videos and everything I've been watching has been between the A77, the 87, and the A100. This is the 79. And I was thinking, like, well, this is only one step up from the 77 and one step down from the 87. How bad can it be? So I'm like, okay, I am not too sure if I made a smart, wise purchase from Amazon, but most of my purchases from Amazon hardly are smart. They're just on a whim.
You got time.
I do. And Amazon really does have a good return policy on it. But I'm not going to give up on it yet. It's actually feels really well built. It has a really nice finish to it. I'm very hopeful about it because I would like to upgrade certain things, especially for the VR content I want to make, because now that I'm getting to the whole point, I'm probably not going to stream a lot of music VR songs on Twitch, because the whole DMCA thing, I might as well just avoid that. So it's pretty much creating content to be recorded and edited for YouTube. That is the goal there. And I kind of want to step up certain aspects of, you know, my video feed, because that is very visually intensive. So you kind of want to make it look good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's where I'm being really hopeful about it. Maybe, you know, I'd love to compare this and see what the A100 is like. Cause again, like a lot of VR streamers kind of go with the GoPros. I mean, even my friend Carice, she's got GoPros. I got my buddy Falcon. He went with GoPros. That is so much to spend on
$400
to my wall.
Like, yeah.
I don't know yet. That's kind of, I'm not at that point. But I'm always on that part of, I will try out. And that's why I'm okay with it. I'm not like, I don't feel like I'm wasting my money, because I can return it. Two, I can use it and just give it to my son. And three is just like, I'd rather find those things and test out products and give recommendations for other people without like feeling that, oh, I have to spend this $300 or this $400 for this camera, where I was like, hey, I got this one. It's a nice budget one. I think the A100 is around $99 at this moment. Amazon has like a $30 off coupon that goes with it. So you can possibly get it $70 sometimes to get that same, you know, output. Then mm-hmm. that'd be awesome and save, you know, somebody else the money in the research. So that's where I'm at, and I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Right now.
Sweet.
I don't know about this webcam thing. I got to figure it out, but I've only had it for an hour.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So give it some time. See if there's, you know, workarounds. If the workarounds are more, than, you know, the actual fulfillment of using the product, then you may have to make a decision.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just grateful that Amazon has such a good grace period. It's not like, oh, you only have 2 weeks and it can't be open. Thing like, no.
Yeah.
It's back.
Nah, you should be good. Yeah, that's all I got. I mean, I think that, you know, check it out, see how everything works out for you. And then if you end up, keeping it, you know, it's a very, very affordable product.
I can't be fancy like you and your camera.
You can.
Yeah.
You can.
This
you
just cost me an arm and leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can. And this was a gift. So, I mean, I'm grateful.
I got to get in on your Christmas, you know, lottery.
The lottery. Yeah. Right.
I can be family.
It's crazy. it's crazy. But yeah, it was definitely a big surprise and how everything worked out. But yeah, so something you said earlier, I guess before we wrap, what were you using for your HDMI cam link type device? Were you using software or were you using the actual drive adapter things? How were you connecting?
The driver that Canon came out with.
Okay.
Actually, I could use that with the USB direct hookup.
Okay.
And that's for the clean output, the clean scan cam look,
right,
so that you didn't have all the displays on top of there. I was using that.
Gotcha.
But also on top of it, which actually worked out really well, and I thought I was going to be using it for this. So I got this HDMI video capture device, which
right,
is like HDMI to USB.
Right.
I don't remember. I think it was I want to say it was like $20.
Yeah. I need the name of that because I lost really the one. Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. I lost the one that I had bookmarked. So if you could send me the name to that, I greatly appreciate it.
This thing actually works really well because I also tried the HDMI output out of my camera to see if that alleviated any heat or anything. No, it was still hot just having it on for that long. And it actually, like, it still had, like, the overlay. Didn't, like, that camera itself didn't give that clean HDMI. That's not, I needed to use the firmware for this, but because I was bypassing the firmware and just going directly HDMI out to this, it still had it, but it looked amazing still. It looked really, really good.
Yeah.
So this is actually it's pretty nifty.
Okay.
So I'm stoked on that. And I thought that's what I was going to be using for this,
which
I possibly still will be if I can get that mini display port HDMI cable and see if that makes a difference. But yeah, I can definitely link that to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That's all I got. So guys, make sure you like and subscribe, and I'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day. And for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.